Indians derive from a host of racial and ethnic stocks, including the Australoids, Mongoloids, and Caucasians. Accordingly, there's no standard Indian appearance. Indians manifest many different colors of skin and feature many different physical characteristics. The many different languages spoken in India further compound and complicate this cultural richness. There are over 16 major languages and hundreds of dialects for an estimated 850 languages in daily use. And these languages, furthermore, do not always derive from the same language groups. Consequently, simple communication between Indians from different regions is often difficult at best. Increasingly, English is used as the lingua franca among the educated of India. Of course, when it comes to religion itself, India is one of the most pluralistic of all places in the world. Besides the Hindus, who make up the great majority, Indians profess a wide variety of religious traditions and practices. Each of these non-Hindu traditions has an historical relationship with Hinduism. Sometimes that relationship has involved friction and conflict. Sometimes it's been one of competition. Sometimes it has been a relationship of mutual enrichment. Muslims make up about 10% of the Indian population. In many ways, Islam is diametrically opposed to Hinduism, theologically, and this difference has been the source of much conflict between the religions. Most Muslims live in northern India and in the states of Pakistan and Bangladesh. South India is considered the most Hindu region of the country. When we study modern Hinduism, we shall explore more carefully this relationship between Hinduism and Islam. Concentrated in the region known as the Punjab, Sikhism is a religious tradition that brings together elements of both Hinduism and Islam. Founded in an area that has seen a great deal of Hindu-Muslim conflict, Sikhism initially sought to reduce those frictions. Today, about 2% of the Indian population is Sikhs. Many persons are unaware that Christianity has a long-established tradition in India, especially in the south. Legend has it that the Christian faith was brought to India by Doubting Thomas, one of Jesus' first 12 disciples. He was martyred and buried near Madras. Other legends suggest that Jesus himself studied in India with Buddhist and Hindu sages before his public ministry in Palestine. After his crucifixion, which he survived according to some tales, Jesus returned to India with his mother Mary and died there. There's even a tomb in Kashmir reputed to be that of the Christian Messiah. Presently, Christians comprise about 2% of the total Indian population. Although founded in India, Buddhism has only a small following there today. But in the early medieval period of India, Buddhism flourished and even threatened to eclipse Hinduism as the dominant religion of the country. With the advent of Islam, Buddhism's presence on the subcontinent was greatly diminished. Although Indian Buddhists today number only around 3 to 4 million, there has long been a close relationship between Buddhism and Hinduism, such that distinguishing the two is not always easy. Many Buddhists in Asia pray to Hindu gods, and many Hindus revere the Buddha as a manifestation of God. Jainism is not as widely known in the West as Buddhism, but it has much in common with it, and also with Hinduism. Buddhism and Jainism began at about the same time in northern India, and they share some features. Although numerically small, around 2 million, The Jains have had a profound influence on the life of India in general, and Hindus in particular. The Jain practice of absolute nonviolence helped give rise to the custom of cow protection and vegetarianism in Hinduism, and also had a profound effect on Mohandas Gandhi's philosophy. To round out this picture of religious diversity in India, let me mention finally the presence of the Jews and the Parsis, who are the practitioners of the ancient Persian religion Zoroastrianism. There are a few hundred thousand Indians who belong to these religious communities. There are, in fact, two synagogues in Bombay. My intention in outlining these various religions is to call attention to the deeply pluralistic context in which Hinduism is rooted, and to support the contention that India is not an easily grasped concept. But even this sketch is oversimplified, because I've said very little about the tremendous diversity within Hinduism itself. That diversity will become increasingly apparent and impressive as the series unfolds. To conclude, let us return to the terms with which we began: Hinduism, religion, and India. These are three abstractions, three constructions of Western origin. As we begin this series, it is important that we bear in mind that what these words intend to indicate are realities far more diverse and far more complex than we might casually assume. At times, we may even be at a loss to say what these realities have in common beyond a simple concept that holds them together in our minds.